RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listener, welcome back to our English program over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news followed by news across the country, today in history, highlight of the week, and news in brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present to you our daily segment Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. MPR asks Indonesian government to stop the planning of moving capital city. President Joko Widodo encouraged G20 countries to combat terrorism. President Erdogan affirms Indonesia really understands ways to counter terrorism. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo has planned to move Jakarta capital to another province in Indonesia. It is aimed to optimize the governance in the future because Jakarta has been full of activities. However, the government wants to involve private sectors if the planning can be done successfully. In response to this case, Chairman of the House of the People Assembly MPR Zulkifli Hasan at the Parliament building in Jakarta on Friday said that it is much better for the government not to involve private sectors if the planning is done because it can bring about a new problem.
Kalau ibu kota pindah swasta, malah skandal nanti.
If capital city moves by involving private sectors, it will be scandal. The public will ask. If the capital city moves, it is the duty of government because central government is moved. If private sectors move the capital city, how comes the central government is moved by private sectors? I agree if capital city needs to be separated, but it is not now, but next. Zulkifli Hasan asked the government to focus on its performance because the Indonesian debt is so much to foreign countries. Even he said that there are many programs of the government which have to be finished, such as the toll road construction in Java and Sumatra Islands, irrigation construction, and many others. He also explained that 2008 is getting closer and it becomes political year to set presidential and vice presidential candidates for general election 2019. Thus, Zulkifli expect the government to finish working programs instead of thinking about moving Jakarta, capital city, to another province. President Joko Widodo has encouraged the G20 member state to unite and fight against terrorism during the G20 leader retreat session 1 summit. The president views that a balanced approach between soft and power and hard power is a powerful solution for the eradication of terrorism. In addition, the deradicalization program for former terror actors conducted in Indonesia has helped reduce their intention to commit the same acts. In his speech, President Joko Widodo also spoke about the incident in Marawi City, the Philippines, which is now controlled by the ISIS group and has forced people to flee. He confirmed that trilateral negotiation between Indonesia, Malaysia, Philippines, initiated by Indonesia, had been held. In addition to this, ASEAN will also cooperate with Australia to combat terrorism in the region. President Joko Widodo expressed Indonesian views on terrorism and his government's efforts to overcome and eradicate it during the G20 summit in Hamburg, Germany on Friday. The point compared by the president before the leaders of the world top economies gathered for the summit was Indonesian effort to improve supervision of the pool of funds to the radical groups and terrorist networks. President Joko Widodo also disclosed Indonesian efforts to deal with terrorism through a deradicalization program, with the result that only 3 out of the 560 former terrorist actors, or 0.53%, wish to indulge in terrorism. On the occasion, he also called upon the G20 countries to be a driving force to find solution to the root cause of terrorism arising from inequality and injustice by strengthening the inclusive economic environment. The president compared to the leaders of G20 member states that Indonesia was a plural country and the third largest democracy in the world. Meanwhile, Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan affirmed that Indonesia really understands the ways to counter terrorism. He remarked that Indonesia is a country which really understands how to fight terrorism. Turkey expects to improve bilateral cooperation with Indonesia as the country had faced big challenges on terrorism and radicalization. President Erdogan asserted that all kinds of terrorism should be fought. He also emphasized the importance of exchanging secret information between intelligence agencies of both countries. On the occasion, he expressed thanks to his brothers in Indonesia for fighting against ISIS and Fethullah Gulen. President Erdogan added that he hopes the group would be expelled from Indonesia and Turkey by improving good bilateral cooperation. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. President Joko Widodo and his Australian counterpart Malcolm Turnbull discussed progress on the Indonesian-Australian Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement, ICEPA, during a virtual meeting on the sidelines of the G20 summit on Friday. The two leaders were in a meeting for approximately 1 hour, starting at around 8:30 a.m. local time at the Steigenberger Hotel in the port of city of Hamburg, Germany. Indonesian Foreign First Minister Retno Marsudi said the two countries have reaffirmed their commitment to completing the ICEPA by the end of the year. Indonesia and Australia have had 7 rounds of negotiation on the ICEPA, which is based on the existing ASEAN-Australia-New Zealand Free Trade Agreement and will rule out tariffs for 10,012 types of goods. The government needs to acquire 2 plots of land in Cibubur, East Jakarta and Bekasi West Java worth 1.6 trillion rupiah, or around $119.3 million, to serve as location for train depots for the Greater Jakarta Light Rail Transit LRT project. Director General of Transportation Ministry Railway Transportation, Prasetyo Budi Cahyono, said that on Friday that the government needs to acquire at 0.45 hectare plot of land in Cibubur and another 5 hectare plot of land in Bekasi for the project. He said that in Bekasi, the government needs 10 hectares of land, but LRT contractor State Construction Pin Adhikarya has already owned another 5 hectares of land. The last item for doctoral candidate student and a professor candidate of Diponegoro University, the presentation at Cairo Annual Business Forum in the Hotel Golden Tulip in Cairo on July 3rd until 2017. Secretary of Academic Senate of Diponegoro University and the accompanying delegates of Diponegoro University, Professor Inda Susilawati, said to ARA in Cairo on Friday that the topic presented is related to the marine and empowerment of Indonesian migrant workers after returning to their homeland. Reputed international publication is one of the requirements for graduation for doctorate students in university in Indonesia, one of which can be done through international conference. In addition to Cairo, this year, Diponegoro University will also send students to attend international conferences in Malaysia.
Kami biasanya mengencourage mahasiswa sebelum dia ada ujian.
We usually encourage our students before they close tests to present a paper abroad for international conference. This is the first generation of doctoral students who go to study in Cairo. On the next July 23rd until 27th, for our bachelor degree students, I also encourage them to head paper project and mini project for international seminar as well as journal research, and they will go to Kuala Lumpur. Furthermore, Professor Inda said that beside the Indonesian delegation, the international conference was also attended by delegation from other countries such as India and Taiwan. She said that last year, the Diponegoro University sent its students to attend presentation in countries such as Spain, Australia, Dubai, and Japan. Professor Ida also said that presentation of Indonesian delegation in Cairo went well and received a positive response from the audience because it has the power and quality of the content side. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Hey Michelle, What are you reading?
Oh, hi Steve. I'm reading an Indonesian travel brochure. And guess what?
What?
It's really fun and challenging, you know?
Really?
Yeah. All scenery looks so beautiful. Now I can decide where to visit.
Well, how about Joglo Semarang? It is short term for Yogyakarta, Solo, and Semarang.
Oh.
And it is one of the 10 main tourism destinations in Indonesia.
Okay, I'll try to Joglo Semarang. Make your dream of having a holiday in Joglo Semarang, Indonesia come true by joining VOI International Quiz 2017. Answer the following question. 1. Please mention some VOI programs and which one is your favorite. 2. When do you listen to VOI and in what language? 3. How do you listen to VOI? 4. What is your suggestions for VOI? 5. Tell us briefly, what do you know about Indonesia?
Send the answers along with your personal data, passport number, and passport expiry date to VOI International Quiz at voi.co.id. VOI International Quiz at voi.co.id before August the 1st, 2017. See you in Indonesia.
Various important issues occurring this week are featured in the form of editorials by the leading media published in Jakarta and are summarized in the press review. Let's start the press review from... Salah. Let's start the press review with Media Indonesia newspaper. In its editorial on Wednesday, the paper writes, "Honoring agriculture. There is something different in the just-ended Ramadan and Lebaran periods. Food prices were relatively stable, at least not recorded a hike in prices that made household consumers upset. In fact, traditional markets as well as in previous years remain filled with buyers. That is, this time a large demand from the consumer side did not necessarily make food prices go crazy. Food supply was sufficient. This near-ideal condition was unlikely to happen if food handling were still done as in the past. It had been proven to have perpetuated the tradition of price spikes during Ramadan and Lebaran time, as if nothing else could be done to change it. At the time, the government tried to do something, but the result of the price so-called food trade mafia that is often blamed as the culprit of the price spike now does not look evil. In the upstream, farmers enjoy an increase in income surplus. On the one hand, food prices paid by consumers were relatively stable, while on the other hand, farmers could gain more profit. It indicates efficiency in the distribution chain, not weak consumption. The next job is how to make price stability in the holiday period as a new trend. The key remains on supply and distribution. The Economist Intelligence Unit last year placed Indonesia's food sustainability index ranked 21, Southeast Asia's only country in the top 25. One of the drivers is abundant water resources and land productivity. With the current condition, Indonesia has sufficient capital to supply food for the people. Turning to Sindo newspaper, which in its editorial on Thursday, July the 6th, writes labor regulations. The presence of digital technology has spawned a digital economy that is transforming the conventional economic structure all the easier. New forms of business emerge that had never before been imagined, leading to new jobs. As a consequence, the regulations related to employment must follow the times changing rapidly. Although digital economic work is virtual, it still involves workers and employers, so there must be firm and clear rules to avoid unexpected conflicts or social unrest. Therefore, the regulation of employment related to the digital economy required at least concerns with the assurance of the rights of workers and employers. The bottom line includes work forms and relationships, skill, health and safety, wage equality, social security, and labor protection. According to Sindo, the government's target to make Indonesia a center of digital economy in Southeast Asia is quite ambitious. However, it cannot be denied that the behavior of Indonesian people is very digitally oriented. Citing data from the Indonesian Internet Service Providers Association, that internet users in Indonesia reach 52% of the total population and access the internet mobile for 4 hours per day. Another development that makes the government more optimistic about the existence of the digital economy is the growth of application-based pioneering business so rapidly, or the one that called upstart business. We end the press review today with Business Indonesia newspaper, which in its editorial on Thursday, July the 6th, writes, "Complexity of Moving the Capital." In the last few days, there has been a growing public polemic related to the planned removal of the capital of the Republic of Indonesia from Jakarta province to other regions or cities. If this plan is realized later on, Jakarta will only become a business center, while the new capital will become the center of government administration. It is hoped that simultaneously will be able to encourage the formation of new economic growth centers so that the development outcomes become more evenly distributed, which at the same time can erode the economic imbalance between Java and Outer Java. However, the government plan is not necessarily responded positively by the public. Some have expressed support, however, others have refused. So far, the government has not formally decided which region or city will be the future capital of the country. To be sure, its location is outside the island of Java, considering one of its goals is to encourage the creation of a center of economic growth bar. Although not yet officially declared, Palangkaraya is touted as one of the city candidates to be elected as the new capital. The name of Palangkaraya as a candidate for the new capital did not show up this time alone. In the era of Indonesia's first president Sukarno, the desire to move the capital to Palangkaraya had once become a discourse, although in the end this idea was never materialized. With all the complexity of the problems, all hope the government is not in a hurry to realize its plans. At the same time, all parties should be able to act and respond wisely, so the polemic is not prolonged. According to Business Indonesia, however, Indonesia is currently in need of enormous energy and the unity of all elements of the nation to build the country, and this is very important. That was Press Review over Voice of Indonesia. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello, listener. Nice to meet you again. I'm here, Mana Ramana, in our regular program Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. While we start for an event on July 8, 1940, when Kemayoran International Airport was opened. Kemayoran Airport was an airport for Jakarta, Indonesia, which was opened on 8 of July 1940. In 1975, international flights on the Airport were temporarily moved to Halim Perdana Kusuma Airport Force Base. Flight operation terminated on the night of 31st March 1985, and domestic flights were immediately transferred to Soekarno-Hatta Airport in Tangerang, Banten. The airport was briefly reactivated for Indonesian Air Show in 1986. The location of the former airport has been a favorite subject in urban planning, on which the former runways had been converted into wide boulevard, while the green areas around has been filled gradually into developments such as Jakarta International Exposition Center, JIE, and Kota Baru Kemayoran Bandar Kemayoran. The next event was in 1976 about the launch of Palapa A1 satellite. Palapa A1 satellite is the Indonesian first satellite and operated by telecommunication company Telkom. Palapa A1 was launched from Kennedy Space Center, Canaveral Cape, the United States, on July 8, 1976 with Delta 2914 rocket and had operated since July 9, 1976. After entering the operational period, six of the 12 Palapa A1 transponder were used for telephony applications, while the another one was used by national television, and the remaining five were used as a reserve. The Palapa satellite program places Indonesia as the third country in the world to operate domestic satellite communication system using geostationary orbit satellite. The name of Palapa was chosen by President Suharto in July 1975 based on the vow of Majapahit Kingdom Gajah Mada, which according to Negara Kertagama in the 13th century would unite the entire archipelago of Indonesian islands. And the last event was in 2009 when presidential elections were held in Indonesia. Presidential elections were held in Indonesia on 8th of July 2009. The elections returned to a president and vice president for the 2009-2014 period. Incumbent President Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono elected with a 20% margin in the 2004 election, sought a second term against former President Megawati Soekarnoputri in a rematch of the 2004 election, as well as incumbent Vice President Yusuf Kalla. Securing a majority of the votes in a landslide victory in the first round, Yudhoyono was re-elected without the need to proceed to a second round, scheduled to be held on 8 September if no candidate received a majority of the popular vote. Yudhoyono was officially declared the victor of the election on 23rd of July 2009 by the General Election Commission. Listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is Sarah Reward Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Focus. Today, it's on Indonesia-Turkey agree on comprehensive economic partnership. Indonesia and Turkey agreed to launch a comprehensive economic partnership agreement. Antara News Agency reported that the launch of the agreement negotiation was held in a meeting between President Joko Widodo and Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan at Turkish Beyazsaray Presidential Palace on the outskirts of Ankara on Thursday. In a joint press statement with Turkish President Erdogan in Ankara on Thursday, President Joko Widodo said Indonesia and Turkey had agreed to restore positive trends of trade and investment through the Indonesia-Turkey Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement, or ITCEPA. President Joko Widodo also said the two countries had agreed to reduce or end the trade barriers of both countries to create a conducive investment climate. Indonesia also encourages Turkey's investment, especially in the field of maritime, infrastructure, and energy. In addition to the agreement on partnership, the two countries also agreed on cooperation in the health sector. The Indonesian government representatives who signed the documents was Foreign Minister Retno LP Marsudi for health cooperation. Then, Trade Minister Enggar Tias Tolukita signed the Indonesia-Turkey Comprehensive Economy partnership agreement with the Turkish government. The signing of the two documents was witnessed by the two heads of state. President Erdogan, in his statement, said he wanted to work with Indonesia, including partnerships in various fields. Moreover, President Joko Widodo, after Turkey, will continue the journey to the G20 summit in Hamburg, Germany. President Erdogan considers it increasingly important for Turkey and Indonesia to work together and build partnerships in various fields. In the joint press statement, President Joko Widodo said the two heads of state also agreed to cooperate in the exchange of intelligence information in an effort to combat and overcome foreign terrorist fighters. To that end, the two countries agreed to build information technology systems in the field of intelligence. According to President Joko Widodo, the development of information technology systems in the field of intelligence allows the two countries to cooperate to combat terrorism. This was welcomed by President Erdogan, who mentioned that the issue of terrorism is no longer a local issue for one party only. President Joko Widodo ended his state visit in Turkey late Thursday to continue his trip to Hamburg, Germany, to attend the G20 summit. That was Focus Today.
Here news in brief read by Rahmana. President Joko Widodo has planned to move Jakarta capital to another province in Indonesia. It is aimed to optimize the governance in the future because Jakarta has been full of activities. However, the government wants to involve private sectors if the planning can be done successfully. In response to this, Chairman of the House of the People Assembly MPR Sulki Pliasan at the Parliament building in Jakarta on Friday said that it is much better for the government not to involve private sectors if the plan is done because it can bring about a new problem. President Joko Widodo has encouraged the G20 member state to unite and fight against terrorism during the G20 leader retreat session 1 summit. The president views that the balanced approach between soft power and hard power is a powerful solution for the eradication of terrorism. President Joko Widodo expressed Indonesian views on terrorism and his government support to overcome and eradicate it during the G20 summit in Hamburg, Germany on Friday. Meanwhile, Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan affirmed that Indonesia really understands the ways to counter terrorism. He remarked that Indonesia is a country which really understands how to face terrorism. President Joko Widodo and his Australian counterpart Malcolm Turnbull discussed progress on the Indonesian-Australian Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement, ICEPA, during a bilateral meeting on the sidelines of G20 summit on Friday. The government needs to acquire 2 plots of land in Cebubis, Jakarta and Bekasi, West Java, worth around 1.6 trillion rupiah, around $119.3 million, to serve allocation for train depots for the Greater Jakarta Light Rail Transit LRT project. For doctoral candidates, students, and a professor candidate of Diponegoro University, the presentation at Caronal Business Parliament Hotel Golden Tulip in Cairo on July 3rd until 4th, 2017. The secretary of the Academic Staff of Diponegoro University and the companion delegates of Diponegoro University, Professor Inda Susilawati, said that to arrive in Cairo on Friday, that the topic presented is related to marine and empowerment of Indonesian migrant workers after tuning to their homeland. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Hey Michelle, what are you reading?
Oh, hi Steve. I'm reading an Indonesian travel brochure. And guess what?
What?
It's really fun and challenging, you know?
Really?
Yeah, all scenery looks so beautiful. Now I can decide where to visit.
Well, how about Joglo Semar? It is short term for Yogyakarta, Solo, and Semarang.
Oh.
And it is one of the 10 main tourism destinations in Indonesia.
Okay, I'll try to Joglo Semar.
Make your dream of having a holiday in Joglo Semar, Indonesia come true by joining VOI International Quiz 2017. Answer the following question. 1. Please mention some VOI programs and which one is your favorite?
2. When do you listen to VOI and in what language? 3. How do you listen to VOI? 4. What is your suggestions for VOI? 5. Tell us briefly, what do you know about Indonesia?
Send the answers along with your personal data, passport number, and passport expiry date to VOI International Quiz at voi.co.id. VOI International Quiz at voi.co.id before August the 1st, 2017. See you in Indonesia.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuned to Voice of Indonesia, broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequency of 9525 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Listeners, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you to visit Cisoka, Tangerang, Banten to have a closer look at Blue Lake. Stay tuned. Listener, if you are in Jakarta, please set your time to come to Blue Cisoka Lake. The Blue Cisoka Lake is also known with the name Blue Cigaru Lake. This lake is not natural, but it is former sand excavation, which is no longer in operation. Hole of former sand excavation with a depth of dozens of meters is filled rainwater so it becomes a lake. The local people call it Blue Cigaru Lake. Listener, the name of Blue Cigaru Lake is given because the water of this lake is blue, although the color of the lake's water changes to be yellow or transparent. This beautiful lake is at Cigaru Hamlet, Cisoka Village, Cisoka Subdistrict, Tangerang Regency. The newest tourism object has two lakes, namely at the right of the entrance which has blue water and the left of the entrance which has green color and it is wider. The combination of the two colors of the lake's water with shady trees adds the beauty of the scenery at the tourism object. Listener, the water of the Blue Cisoka Lake often changes because its acidity is high. Besides, there is weed which can change its color when being exposed by sunlight. Because of that, the visitors are prohibited to swim there. But you do not have to worry because you still can enjoy the beauty of the lake by renting small boat with the fee 20,000 rupiah to go around the lake. Thank you. listener, to go to Blue Chisoka Lake, you do not need drive your own car, but you can go by train while enjoying scenery and trying to avoid traffic jam. You can go to Tanah Abang Station in Jakarta to go to by commuter line to Tanah Abang to Maja, and go down at Tiga Raksa Station in Tangerang. From Maja Station, you can continue your trip by public transportation. The distance from railway station to bus stop is around 300 meters. You can go by public transportation to Adiyasa to Balaraja and stop at Chisoka. Then you can continue your trip by going with Gojek or rented motorcycle until the gateway of the lake. The entrance ticket to the lake is 10,000 rupiah. It includes parking fee. Listener, the Blue Chisoka Lake can be a choice to your destination. This tourism object is not far from Jakarta and it is very cheap. That was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Listener of Federal Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you meet again with me, Andika, in Miscellany program. Listener, the next July 13, the city government of Bandung, West Java, will launch health program, which is held by the way of picking up the ball or jemput bola. Related to this, today's miscellany will discuss layat rawat. Listener, health is an important part of people's welfare. It is also one of basic human needs in addition to clothing, food, and house. Therefore, the health services provided by the Indonesian government are managed by the Health Insurance Administering Agency or BPJS. The service should be able to meet these basic needs. However, in regard to this agency's services, many people complain about both in the city and the village, even for the people in Bandung, West Java. Facing this situation, Mayor of Bandung, Ridwan Kamil, or people usually call him Kang Emil, makes an agreement with the agency to make a breakthrough with the juxtapose the agency's services to the public, especially for the poor. The breakthrough was named Layat Rawat, which will be launched on July 13. Layat Rawat is an innovation in the form of a solution so the poor do not need to come to the hospital for treatment. Mayor Ridwan views that this innovation is also an answer when the city government has not had been able to present a public hospital that can fulfill the needs of all residents, not only in Bandung City, but also the surrounding areas. Listener, Head of Bandung City Health Office, Rita Ferita Sri Hasniarti, explained that the Lao Yatrawat program is health service which is given to the patient directly at his or her place or home, especially for cases that need immediate help. Rita Ferita added there are two criteria for patients. First one is patients who have been recorded by the public health center or puskesmas in the program of public health care or perkesmas. While the second one is patients who have emergency cases such as elderly people falling at home, hypertension, and diabetes patients who must be controlled and usually recorded in puskesmas. Residents who become Layatrawat patients can reach Layatrawat team through health staff by contacting the local puskesmas or calling 119. Layatrawat team, which consists of a doctor, nurse, midwife, nutritionist, and environmental health officer, will immediately come to the patient's location. After examining the patient, as Rita Ferita said, team will decide whether the patient is treated at home or should be taken to hospital. The reason is that some diseases can be treated at home. For example, wounds caused by diabetes or other diseases are usually more serious. If the patient has to be hospitalized, an ambulance from local puskesmas will be called immediately by the team through 119 to take the patient to nearest hospital. Well, listener, that was Miscellany for today with the topic Layatrawat Health Service of Bandung City. We will see you in the next Miscellany with another interesting topic. See you, bye-bye.
Meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, it's Nara Ferrari, World Service Voice of Indonesia. Wherever you are, welcome back with me, Andika, in Music Corner, musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Dipa Barus. Well, listener, to initiate our segment Music Corner for today, let's listen to a song entitled No One Can Stop Us.
No one can stop us. Just
can stop us. No one can stop us.
Listener, that was the first song entitled No One Can Stop Us, sung by Dipa Barus feat. Kalula. Dipa Barus is a DJ or disc jockey from Indonesia, who is also well known as composer and musical producer in electronic dance music genre. Dipa was born with name Dipa Kresna Aditya Barus in Jakarta on January 4, 1986. Dipa Barus has been interested on music since he was at elementary school. Dipa Barus has learned bass instruments since he was 6 years old. Since that time, Dipa Barus has kept learning about musical knowledge. Finally, Dipa Barus met with this jockey in Singapore. When he was back from Singapore, Dipa Barus learned to be a disc jockey. Dipa Barus has a college and work in the field of graphic design in Malaysia. But in 2008, Dipa Barus chose to come home to Jakarta to pursue music world. Listener, before we talk more about Dipa Barus, let's listen to the next song entitled Let Me Get That. Happy listening!
Baby, get down, 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 down.
Listener, you have just listened to the second song entitled Let Me Get That, which is collaboratively produced among Dipa Barus, Rini Wulandari, and Teza Sumendra. As a disc jockey, Dipa Barus often collaborates with other Indonesian musicians and singers such as Andin, Titi DJ, Bunga Citra Lestari, Bayu Risa, and many others. Listener, to be a disc jockey is not an easy for Dipa Barus. He has tried various kinds of sounds, music, and instruments to be able to create new work. More interestingly, Dipa Barus has explored Indonesian traditional music such as gamelan, gong, trumpet of Freok, and sasando. All of them are combined with modern instruments in his works. One of them is in his song entitled No One Can Stop Us. All his efforts have done well, so he was crowned as the best disc jockey of the year 2014 and the best electro disc jockey of the year 2013. But he is still humble. Although he dives in night world which is identical with alcohol and drugs, Dipa Barus still chooses in healthy life. Dipa Barus is diligent to practice meditation. His attitude that contradicts with the words of the night makes him be given a label as DJ Syariah or Islamic DJ by some media and electronic music lovers. Besides through stage, Dipa Barus also introduced his works through YouTube. Many people think that song which is heard by them is a work from this jockey from abroad such as Alan Walker and Marshmello. Listener, to conclude our segment Music Corner for today, let's listen to the last song entitled All Good. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.